This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is the Honorable Tracy Mann. He represents the 1st Congressional District of Kansas, is a member of the House Ag Committee. He's set to join us in just a moment. First off, Brad Rippey is a meteorologist with USDA, looks at corn crop emergence.
We continue, however, to see those extremes, a little wetter in the eastern Corn Belt and a little slower on planting and emergence, a little quicker as you move to the north and west. A couple of numbers to drive that home. Ohio, 68% of the corn crop emerged by June 8th. Five-year average is 81%, so 13 points behind. Meanwhile, North Dakota, outpacing Ohio at 76% emerged. Five-year average is only 59%, so they are looking at plus 17 points ahead of average.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today we're joined by the Honorable Tracy Mann from the 1st Congressional District of Kansas. It's the big 1st Congressional District, member of the House Ag Committee. Great to see you.
Tony, always great being with you. Thanks for having me on.
All right. It's, there used to be times that things would slow down in D.C., but I just don't know that that happens anymore. It seems as though you're going from like before 6 a.m. to well after 6 p.m. every day. It's got to be a tough schedule right now.
It's kind of like harvest every day here in Washington, D.C., but there's a lot to do and happy to do it. You know, we get elected to, for me, advocate for agriculture and our Kansas conservative values. And if that means early morning, late nights, happy to do that. So we have a lot to do to continue to get the country back on track.
So before we go much further, what about conditions back home in the 1st District? What are you seeing?
Well, you know, it's interesting times in agriculture. As we know, farmers, right now are finishing up planting corn. Certainly sorghum's going in the ground or has already been planted. Wheat all over the state. Some of it looks good. Some of it not so good. We have mosaic that's really going to impact parts of the crop. We know that where production costs are means that farmers are, having tough times right now, given where commodity prices are. At the same time, cattle prices have never been better. And so the livestock industry continues to do well. But, a lot of concerns about our corn, wheat, and milo and soybean producers in the Big First.
Let's talk about something that's coming up in, today, and that is the Secretary of Ag, Brooke Rollins, and testimony before the House Ag Committee. What is it that you'll be watching for? What is it that you want to hear that's going on within USDA?
Yeah, well, excited to have the Secretary in front of the House Ag Committee today. When she got sworn in earlier this year, Tony, 3 days after that, she was in Kansas. She came to Southwest Kansas, Garden City area, toured a feed yard, toured a dairy, toured a packing plant in Liberal. So really appreciate her getting out, talking to ag producers firsthand. Today, excited to hear her talk about the trade mission that she was on in India. I think that's a huge opportunity to expand the India market for ag products, New World screwworm, which I know they're working on. A whole lot of other issues. The USDA is very busy right now, as we all know, and I'm looking forward to getting the update straight from the Secretary.
Let's talk about a bill that's already made its way through the House over at the Senate now, and the word from the Senate now is they'd like to have it back over to the House before the end of the month. We're talking about the big, beautiful bill. And when you look at that in agriculture, what are some of the top line issues that you think are addressed for ag?
Yeah, well, a lot of things. In many ways, a lot of provisions from a farm bill were able to get included in the big, beautiful bill. Strengthening crop insurance, very important. We're able to do that. Raising reference prices, very important. We're able to do that. Also, the tax provisions in this bill matter a lot for agriculture, making sure that our ag producers don't see income tax hikes, but also in this bill, raise the estate tax deduction exclusion. Basically, is very good for our ag producers, to reduce estate taxes. So a lot to like in this bill for agriculture.
And obviously, we've talked about this for quite some time. Farm area. Now, if you're in the cattle business, maybe if you're not on the packer side, you're doing okay right now. But many other aspects of ag are struggling. Has that been a concern for you as well?
Oh, very, very much so. It's top of mind almost constant. And that's just where input costs are and how they've increased the last several years and where prices are. It just doesn't work. And so, you know, making sure that at the very least we have the risk management tools in place for ag producers, crop insurance, absolutely essential, but also raising reference prices and make sure that our farm policy helps to reflect the actual conditions on the family farm today. Incredibly important, able to do that in the big, beautiful bill, but we need to see that get through the Senate, back over to the House, and eventually get signed into law here as soon as possible.
Now, does that bill kind of help alleviate some of the pressure from operating under an extended farm bill? I know the House Ag Committee passed that farm bill last session, but couldn't get some help from the other chamber there. Does that help until a new farm bill can be crafted?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of the provisions that I really liked in the farm bill that we passed last May out of the House Ag Committee were included in what we did as part of the big, beautiful bill. So, and I tell people all the time, and we all know this, the farm bill is not going to, you know, help do everything to help production agriculture. There's still market risk, of course, but at least it provides some certainty that our ag producers and their lenders need to keep going here in tough times. I've been on the floor of the House 34, 35 times now, urging the rest of Congress to get serious about doing a 5-year farm bill. But this bill does provide some certainty. It doesn't replace getting a farm bill done, but is a massive step in the right direction, and I'm proud to support it.
And before we let you go, I know there's a lot that's going on, and on a daily basis, you're talking ag, but you're having to talk taxes. You're talking all kinds of different topics. You're really having to play in the deep end of the pool here. So as you look at some of the other things that are kind of on your agenda here over the next few months, what else is kind of on that front burner for you?
Well, definitely on the front burner, there's a rescission package that we're looking at today, which would reduce spending. You know, I'm very concerned about our debt, Tony. We are $36 trillion in debt. And it's not just that we're $36 trillion in debt today. It's that 2010, 15 years ago, we were at $13 trillion. So we've added $23 trillion to the debt in the last 15 years. That is not sustainable. So we've got to figure out how to get Washington, get our federal spending, you know, at levels that's much more sustainable. In addition to that, you know, we've got to continue to look at opening up markets for ag products overseas as well. Increasing demand for ag products, of course, is going to push up prices, and that's exactly what our farmers need right now.
Always great to see you. Thanks for your time. Wish you the best. Come back and see us.
Will do. Thanks for having me. Have a great rest of the day, Tony.
Again, it's the Honorable Tracy Mann. He represents the big 1st Congressional District of Kansas, a member of the House Ag Committee, on today's Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton, the Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
I'm Russ Kohler, a dairyman from Utah. Safety, know your limits. Heat stroke is life-threatening. Know the symptoms, confusion, loss of consciousness, seizures, high body temperature, hot, dry skin, and profuse sweating. Reduce your risk during the heat of the day by working earlier or later. Allow time for water and rest breaks by drinking 2 to 4 cups of water each hour.
This public service message is brought to you by Farm Bureau and the U.S. Ag Centers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Doug Burgum is Interior Secretary.
There's over 700 million acres of surface land that the federal government manages in this country. And under President Trump's orders, we are now actually managing that land. When we get back into timber production as driven by his EO, we're actually then helping rural communities. We're helping people that are in the lumber business, helping bring those lumber products back home. As we stepped away from this industry, President Trump is now bringing it back. And we, as a nation, we're now, before President Trump backing up, we were burning more timber than we were harvesting in this country. When we spend a dollar on prevention, we save hundreds of dollars on the back end on firefighting. This is going to save Americans dollars when we're out there preventing fires and stopping fires when they begin versus letting these fires become huge and then causing the destruction we have. With the growth of our country around urban areas, there's been a 30% growth of what's called the wildlands and urban interface. When this happens, people start building homes, like the tragedy that President Trump visited in California where so many people lost their lives. But this is where we're essentially creating cities in the middle of forests, but not doing the forest management and creating that deadly fire load out of there. But now we intermix communities with above-ground power lines. This can lead to dangerous situations. So President Trump committed to us doing fire management. We'll reduce that fire load. In addition to that, there's a proposal, which Russ has included in the President's OMB budget, for the unification, because between Secretary Rollins and the U.S. Forest Service, across Interior, we have four different firefighting groups across U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the Bureau of Land Management, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the National Park Service. These five groups under the proposal are going to be unified in terms of their leadership, and so we've got consistent strategies and consistent tactics. But then when we have these thousands of people that are out there fighting fires and putting their lives at work to protect our communities, we also have to step up, as President Trump knows, with our military. We've got to make sure that these brave firefighters are out there actually have the same equipment. In some cases, we're decades behind in terms of giving them the technology they need for either early detection or for saving their own lives. We've got some great examples of where we have good collaboration going between the federal government in Alaska, the state of Alaska, for example, and then also at the National Interagency Fire Center in Idaho, where we are already coordinating. Brooke and I have already held a joint briefing with the fire leaders about this fire season. So we'll continue to unify this work. But we have to work with the states because this year there have been 1.2 million acres already burned. Only 25% of that's been on federal. The other 75% has been on state lands or private lands. And so together we have to work to protect America's resources. And under President Trump's leadership, we've got the guidance through the EOs to make that happen.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right. For about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-923-9018. 800-923-9018. 800-923-9018. That's 800-923-9018.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Bob Mowers with Manduka Trading in Chicago on slaughter weights.
One thing that we'll keep an eye on is carcass weights. They remain well above prior years. So even though the quantity of head out there isn't what it used to be, we would say that, or is heading in the wrong direction in terms of any kind of relief. Definitely the weights might be offsetting a bit of that. And in terms of trade and export, not necessarily great. April beef exports were down about 9% year on year. Obviously, big declines to China, Mexico, and Canada, and those are the three top targets in terms of tariffs. However, and also imports are up around 45% year on year, especially from Brazil and Australia, which kind of makes sense when you think about the price of cattle here in the U.S. We're going to go elsewhere to try to find a, you know, some kind of source that might reduce the price, and that's working its way into the market.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
A slight slowdown in U.S. winter wheat harvest for the past week. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says
nationally, 4% of the winter wheat acreage harvested by June 8th. That's only 1 point increase from the previous week. That 4% is 3 points behind the 5-year average of 7%, even further behind last year's 11%.
Behind the slower harvest progress,
we are seeing some disruptions in harvest activities across the South. Producers would really like to see some drier weather get that harvest moving along in states like Arkansas and even into the Southern Plains.
An example of wetter conditions impacting winter wheat harvest progress.
Oklahoma, an advance during the week from just 4 to 5% harvested on winter wheat. 5-year average is 23%. A pretty dramatic delay. Everything was effectively shut down across that portion of the Southern Plains last week.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.